We're taking you behind the scenes with entrepreneurs that run product-based businesses, people that were once in your shoes. Our TSBC alumni, speakers, and friends will shed light on growth strategies, resources, and inspiration to help you scale your creative business. Before we get started, I wanted to invite you to our next PaperCamp conference, which will take place March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles. This is our signature program where we tackle product development for wholesale, sales strategies, marketing to retailers, and exhibiting at trade shows. We will spend 2 days diving deep with you and helping you figure out everything you need to know to build a strong wholesale foundation. We're going to provide you with a ton of resources that took us years to uncover and share our favorite manufacturers with you. And we will welcome you with open arms to our Trade Show Bootcamp family. If you'd like to join us, head on over to tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp and register. Hey friends, I'm Katie Hunt, the founder of Trade Show Bootcamp, and welcome to Proof to Product. I had the pleasure of sitting down with Sarah Parrott of Parrott Design Studio this week, and I'm really excited for you to hear her story. Sarah is one of our original Trade Show Bootcamp alumni. She attended our first round of classes in 2011 before she exhibited at the National Stationery Show in 2012. And we covered a lot of ground during this interview. So much so that I am breaking things up into two parts. And you are currently listening to part two. So if you missed part one, I suggest you go back and listen to part one first. That's going to give you a really great overview of Sarah and her business, and I'll include that link in the show notes so you can grab it pretty quickly. But today on part two, Sarah talks about hiring a team, how she started very slowly delegating, and she also shares some of the fears that she had around letting go of things within her business. We talked about her multiple revenue streams and the pros and cons of owning multiple businesses that she's operating at the same time. We talked about navigating tough seasons in life while also being a business owner, and Sarah shared how her definition of success for her business has changed over the years. Enjoy. And if you missed part one, head back and listen to that now. Can we talk about your team or like how you've staffed up and down at different points in your business journey? Do you have any employees currently in your business?
I currently do not. I had an amazing wholesale studio manager, Ariel, who just left because she just had a baby. So she was with me for 3.5 years, just about since I moved back to Maine. Mm-hmm. And now it's just me. And I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to do. I think I absolutely need help, but we're coming up on like, you know, the busy Christmas season, but I was like, I'm going to get through Christmas and get through the winter and kind of reevaluate what I'm going to be doing.
Beginning of next year.
So, but before, I've always had someone here helping at the minimum assembling cards. Like that was my first employee, probably 6 months before the first stationery show that I did. And he just scored and folded and assembled cards for like four hours a day, 3 days a week. I hired him as an intern, so I only had him for 3 months, and he was amazing. And then he left for a full-time job and quickly hired someone else to kind of fill the role of packaging. And then she started shipping orders. So it's kind of as I've added, or each new employee that I've had, I've kind of given them another task to do or added on to what they do or something that they're interested in doing or trying to play to their strengths and what they can bring to Parrott Design Studio.
I love that. How are you measuring what they would be good at and then determining what to add to their plate?
Yeah. So a lot of it was just starting small, like starting from the bottom, so to speak. Like the most basic thing we do is, you know, assembling cards. And it's the most important thing. So just keeping, once I'm printing things, it's having them stocked in the inventory room. So kind of starting small, and then giving them small tasks like, okay, they're doing great at this. They're definitely ready for more. Let's have them pack Etsy orders. So, you know, it's kind of having them shadow me for the day or half day of filling orders and then kind of seeing how that goes. And I think my next employee, my third employee, she started fulfilling wholesale orders. So she was kind of, I'd probably call her my first wholesale manager. Her name was Lauren and she was awesome. Mm-hmm. And she was with me for about 3 years as well. And so I started giving her I'd just give her more duties like here, you can fill wholesale orders and she would enter them into, we use Stitch for inventory management. So she would enter them and I'd still be doing the design, the printing, and I still handled all the billing up until Ariel started. And Ariel mm-hmm. was just so good at that. It was just like Excel spreadsheet queen. She would run all the reports. She loved numbers, loved comparing things. She would run me like 3-year reports to compare how things were this time last year. And I was like,
that's
you
awesome.
Can do all the invoicing and you can. So she would, oh man, she'd be chasing down those unpaid invoices or, you know, running the credit cards, talking to people on the phone. So mm-hmm. she really took over that part of the business.
Nice.
Because that's just what she enjoyed doing and she liked, and she was amazing at it as well.
That's yeah. great. Was it hard for you to relinquish some yes. of the control in this?
Absolutely. And I feel like that's why like every single person who came to help me, like I'd slowly give up a little more and a little more until the point yeah. where like Ariel, I mean, so Ariel was here when I had my daughter. And mm-hmm. I was able to just check out for a month. I mean, so my mm-hmm. studio is in my house, so I was still here. But I mean, she just was able to take over mm-hmm. because she just was good at it. And I think 3 years ago before that, I wouldn't have dared to do that. So right. I think it just took a lot of, yeah, practice on my part of letting go and just knowing. And I think also like the wisdom of, you know, having run my business for a number of years of knowing yeah. like what I could give up control and what I should still be doing. So
totally. Yeah. I find that delegating is such a hard task for a lot of creative entrepreneurs because one, they come from a place where when they start, they're doing yeah, every single yeah. thing in their business. And so there's a couple of misconceptions. One, that nobody else can do it the way I can do it. And that's legit. Like, yeah, they don't know they don't have the institutional knowledge that you right. have as the business owner starting this. But then there's a fear that they might do it differently than I do it. And yes, you know, they certainly will because they're a different person with a different process. And even if you lay out your steps, they're probably going to like add to it or do things slightly yeah. different.
Or even better. Like Ariel did things better than I did on something.
Yes.
Like when she left, I was like, your job description has changed so much since when I hired you. I'm like, could you just like write out all the things you did and all the, you know, steps you did? And yeah, I mean, she yeah. really, I gave him like, here's the job, here's what I want you to do. And she just took it and made it something, you know, and just like even like the system she put in place here that I will continue to use even now that she's gone, that I would not have done without her. Yeah.
Oh, I'm yeah. sitting here shaking yeah. my head. Yes, like it's about to fall off because mm-hmm. I am a firm believer. You've heard me talk about this. Like I am a firm believer in hiring people that are smarter than yeah. me, people that are like have just a stronger knowledge base in the areas where I feel like I'm weak or that can institute these new plans and systems and, you know, teach me things in the process. Like it's so important to when you do decide to bring on this help to make sure that you're educating them on, you know, the mission, the values, and all the things that need to happen in your business, but that you're also giving them the autonomy to do their job in the best way possible. And but that's scary. Yeah, that's scary as an entrepreneur to give up that control. So I appreciate you. I also think it was really helpful for you to lay out like the steps of what you started with. I do agree with you starting with the very basics yeah, of, yeah. you know, packaging orders, whatever products people are selling that are listening right now, like start with just having somebody package your products for a while and then, you know, start layering on more responsibilities as you see that they're doing a great job and they're excited about the work they're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Well, I love that story about Ariel. And thank you for sharing your journey of how you've like added people to your team and you've taken them away and not taken them away. Yeah. That
oh
sounds
my gosh,
wrong.
Yeah. But it's like everyone natural. Everything came to like a natural end. I've been so lucky with all the employees. Like the intern left for a full-time job. My second intern, I guess, Jackie, worked with me for 6 months, got me ready for the first stationery show. Then she left for a full-time job in like the field she'd, you know, gone to school for. And then I moved away, so that's why Lauren stopped working for me because I moved to a different state, and then Ariel yeah. started her family. So I've been really lucky where I don't have any horror stories of employees. And really everyone, like I think about both Jackie and Lauren found me when I wasn't necessarily looking for anyone. They were like, they sent me cold emails and wow. because they were just fans of Paris Design Studio and just wanted to work for me. And Ariel, I actually had met her and didn't even, I met her at a craft show. She bought something from me. And then saw that I was hiring a couple months later. So
yeah. It's funny how these things work out. Because so I have a small team of five people, and three of them are bootcamp alums. And, you know, I do think there's a lot of there's a lot of benefit to hiring people that already understand your business or have followed you for a while. And I love hearing, too, that it was kind of serendipitous and how they all kind of came to be, even though you weren't actively looking for somebody, that they kind of landed in your lap. But I also think it's important. I love that you shared this, because I think it's important that it's okay for you to bring some people on for a while. And obviously life seasons change. So I don't know. I think there's a lot of talk about growth and scaling and, you know, but not everybody wants to have a big team. I don't, you know, and at the same time, too, like sometimes it's good to kind of have it be you, even if you've had people for a while, have it be you for a while to see where you have the pain points and where you need to hire next.
Yeah, and that's where I feel now. I'm kind of, I'm definitely in a season of kind of changing and just winding down, you know, this year. And I feel like it's a good time. Like it's working out well, like. I didn't want Ariel to go, but it's working out well that I'm like, okay, I'm just going to be alone for a little bit. And I'm really like, I'm getting back into parts of the business I haven't touched for years. Like I'm in my inventory room and I'm like, I have to reacclimate myself to everything, you know, just parts of the business I haven't touched forever. And it's kind of nice to get back into it. Cause like you mentioned earlier, like this is where I started. I started just me. So
Absolutely. So thank you for sharing that. You know, I would like to circle back to your event space, because I think this is really fascinating how you've weaved these different things into your revenue streams. But so you left a career in the event planning industry. We talked about that briefly at the beginning, to pursue Parrot Designs full time. And you and your husband have since opened up this event space. And is it primarily for weddings, or what kind of events are you hosting?
Yeah. So we've had, so last fall was our first season, and we had our first two weddings, and we've had one other wedding related networking events. And then, so we've been hosting weddings since then. So we're open for other events, but that seems to be what we're attracting is weddings. And that's kind of what our initial idea was as well when we opened the space. So we came up with the idea when we got married in 2008 and decided we were going to have a 5-year plan to get back to Maine. And we always wanted a farmhouse, but then we decided, okay, why don't we get a farmhouse with a barn and let's do this thing. And so I think when I got married, you know, I was in the thick of my custom wedding invitation business. I was, you know, I always love weddings no matter what I'm doing. I'm still doing wedding related things. It just seemed, I don't know, it just seemed natural. Like we never questioned the idea. My husband was on board the whole time, which is, I can't believe it. He was like, I mean, he was into it. My sister, as I mentioned, owned a bakery. My parents own a photo booth company. So it's just,
oh, I didn't realize that.
So we, and it's so funny because we never set out to be in weddings, and it just kind of, or even to be entrepreneurs. And it just kind of, it all seemed very natural. Nothing's been forced. If it's just, it just worked. So we bought the house. Yeah. We found it in 2014 and we finally closed on it in 2015 and spent about 2.5 years renovating the barn.
So are you doing, I know you don't do invitations anymore, but are you still doing a lot of the paper goods or day of events for the events that you're hosting in your venue? Like, how is this all intertwined?
Yeah. So I am. So like we have a wedding coming up on the 20th and I'm doing some of her, like I'm doing her escort cards and doing some signs for her. So it's interesting because when people come to look at the barn, we don't want to flood. I don't try not to flood them with like, oh, I do invitations and my sister's a baker and I have a photo booth. All these things.
Right.
But yeah, it's kind of sharing, like we have these resources that we share with them and like of different vendors, but I'm also like, also I can do this as well for you.
Yeah.
So,
well, I assume that would be attractive to somebody coming and looking for an event space to know that you can get it all under one house, so to speak. I mean, it's why people hire event planners so that, you know, they can leverage the event planner's resources and contacts and all that. So I know you don't want to flood them with sales talk of what you can offer them. But at the same time, I think it is such a huge selling point for you, and it's such an advantage.
Yeah. So I slowly give them the information, or like it usually comes up on the tour. We'll talk about various things. So people ultimately want to know like why we're doing this, or did you buy this to turn it into a venue, or did you own it and then turn, you know, so we kind of, the story I just shared about you know, why we do it. And so, and they know, like, because I have, you know, I've been in doing weddings for 10 years now and have that background and have the event planning background as well. So,
yeah. Well, I was going to say, you guys have such a powerful story around why you started this event space and, you know, also why you do the other arms of your business, that I feel like that would resonate with a lot of couples that are looking to get married, or even companies that want to rent the space for, you know, a corporate event or whatever it might be. That's cool. Is it difficult for you to have these three revenue streams? Like, what are the pros and cons of essentially running three businesses at the same time?
It is. So you're running three businesses. So there's times where it's totally crazy and all three businesses are really busy. Like, that's actually like the next 2 weeks. I'm like, I just want it to be October 22nd right now. So, because each leg, like, we have a wedding coming up. I also have a couple custom jobs for my Garden Gate lettering. And then I'm also filling a big order for Parrot Design Studio on top of, you know, other orders that we have for Parrot Design Studio. And then other times one will be busier than the other, which is great. So if it's like a quiet season for Parrot Design Studio, then I can lean on like the lettering income. So that's been the nice thing, is they kind of all have different times where they are busy. So I'm not depending on just one of them as my main source of income. So that has been nice. There's been, you know, different times where in my life it's been, you know, I have been, like, earlier this year, my father passed away. And
I'm sorry.
Because I had really worked hard on the wholesale arm of my business, I was kind of able to step away, and that kind of just ran itself, which was nice. So I wasn't having to actively do, you know, any work. I had all the inventory, Ariel filled orders. That was nice to do. And then the lettering has been nice, because there's little to no overhead. So it's like just my skills doing it in my time doing it as well.
So one of the benefits of owning our own businesses is that we can pull back when we need to, or we can push forward if we want to, you know. And when your father passed away, you know, you mentioned that wholesale was kind of on autopilot, and that you also had great help with Ariel, as we talked about earlier. So you were able to kind of push pause there for your time commitment.
I was.
For your custom work, for the day of work, the hand lettering work you're doing, when you went through that major change in your life, which is a big change, you know, did you stop taking new orders for a while? Like, how did you manage that big, you know?
Yeah, well, actually, so he passed in December, and not thankfully, but it was a quiet time for the lettering and for our venue. Maine in wintertime is not wedding season. So it was actually great, and then I didn't have any custom jobs to do. And I didn't have to say no or turn anyone away, because really my first job, I don't think, was booked in May. So I actually had a few months where I didn't have to do anything. So the timing, I get, if there's a good timing for anything, it worked,
right,
you know,
it
worked out. But another time when my son was born, and it was my first child, and that is when I stepped away from custom weddings. Like, I made the decision that I couldn't balance both Parrot Design, my, you know, the greeting cards and wholesale and weddings and having a newborn. I just couldn't do it. So I knew something had to drop, and it wasn't an easy decision, but I decided that if one thing was going to go, that was it. So I walked away from all things wedding and custom for almost 2 years.
Wow.
But because I had Parrot Design Studio, you know, I had another source of income.
Right. Oh my gosh, my mind is going to a lot of different directions right now of, like, okay, that's the power of diversifying income. And then also thinking, yes, we have different seasons in life where we need to, again, pull back or push forward. You know, that whole concept of hustling all the time. It's like, no, there's times where I can't hustle or I don't want to hustle.
Right. Well, that's for me now. Like, I think I always feel like that the busyness and the hustle means success. I feel like that's in my earlier days, that is how I defined success, was being busy and saying yes to everything. And now, after talking to some wiser friends and, you know, family, and part of I think defining your own success and knowing that having your own business, it's okay to say no, and it's okay if something doesn't work, or it's okay to walk away from something because it's your business and you can make that decision for what works the best. Because if you don't, you know, why are you doing it? Well, you know,
yes. So. 100%. I recently hosted a mastermind retreat here in LA for a handful of our alumni community. And one of the recurring topics that kept coming up over and over again, and these were people that have been in business for a long time, but one thing that kept coming up over and over again was white space. How do I build in more white space so that I can clear my head and make strong decisions, intentional decisions for my business? Because, you know, we get caught up in, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've always done. You know, for you, I've been doing, I did 72 weddings last year. Like, I need to keep doing weddings, you know? And we kind of, it starts to become this pattern. And our brain starts to think like, well, no, how could I give this up? Because it's money coming in the door and I have reputation to uphold. And I, you know, all these things. But in reality, we need to go back to your point. Why do we start this business? What did success – and to also to your point, success when we started may look very different than what success is for us today and what success will be for us in 5 years or 10 years from now. And that's why I think it's also very important to, one, make sure you're giving yourself white space to do these reassessments, but then also making the time to hone in on how am I spending my time. How am I making my money? Does this fulfill me? Is this the direction I want to continue going in? And, you know, it's sometimes hard to make these decisions, but I really applaud you for recognizing that that wasn't working for you at that time. And it wasn't something you wanted to be doing. So you stopped for a while. And you, when you came back into it in a way that felt right and good for you and really fit what you
wanted. Yeah, and totally different than what it was, but it worked. That's when I started the lettering, you know, Garden Gate lettering. Under, you know, I didn't do it under Parrot Design Studio because I didn't want it to confuse anyone that I was offering custom under Parrot Design Studio, because I was not. Yeah. And I'm also targeting more local customers for the lettering as well.
Makes sense.
So I came back to weddings, but came back at a different angle and an angle where I feel like I have a lot more control over what I'm doing and who I'm working with and when I'm doing it. So. And it's
That's
okay.
Awesome.
I feel like things I'm doing now, in my earlier days, I never thought I would have survived, but I'm like, I survived and I'm so much better for it. And
and I'm living to tell that. Awesome. Well, what advice do you have for others that are starting a product-based business? They're just getting, I mean, you've talked a lot about a lot of great topics in this episode, but if you had to kind of hone it down, or maybe you're talking to your, you know, self 10 years ago, what would you tell yourself, you know, now that you've been through this whole growth season with your business? What would you tell somebody starting out?
Well, I think even though my business is so different now than when it was, I think I started the right way. I kept my day job for 3 years while I was building Parrot Design Studio. So I had the stability of my day job, but I had time to kind of like hone what I was doing in those 3 years to kind of figure out what it was I wanted to be doing. Well, and I was still exploring. I think those first couple of years, I didn't even think that this was going to be my full-time job or that I was going to make that leap. So it allowed me to start small. Like I mentioned, I used my tax return check to essentially start this business. So I think instead of, you know, quitting my day job, taking out some huge loan and starting whatever it was I was going to start, I really started slow. And I've been saying that since I started, that just starting slow, allowing it to kind of naturally grow into what it might be, I think is one of the things. I'm glad I did that. And
that's great.
So that's one thing I think too.
That's a huge thing. I think, you know, we do see people that follow your same path of, you know, slow, steady growth. And I think that ultimately leads to a stronger business foundation and, you know, more sustainable company. And then there's people too that just like go all in and, as you said, take out a loan or leave their job.
But then and it works for them. Some of them it works.
And it does. And it does. But it's higher risk. And so I think that knowing anyone listening, like knowing ourselves and knowing what amount of risk we're comfortable taking and what we're trying to do, having a clear end goal, I think, you know, obviously different things work for different people, but I
right. And I think that's the thing too. I think that's an important thing too, for people who are just starting, to know that one person's startup story is not the same as another person's story, and neither one is right or wrong. Like, it's whatever works for you. And I know, like, I feel like when you're first starting, you're looking to a lot of people because they're your inspiration, and you just have to know that how they did it might not work for you. It might, but it probably won't.
Absolutely agree with you. Well, where can people find you online if they want to buy your products, or, you know, follow you on social media?
Yeah. So my website is parrotdesignstudio.com, and on Instagram it's parrotdesign. So that's
awesome. And we'll be sure to link that in the show notes, as well as your other two businesses too, in case anyone's looking for an event space or day of services too. Sarah, I really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you for being vulnerable and for sharing your story and just the lessons you've learned as you've grown this business. It's been so much fun to watch you grow and to see you pivot in different ways. And just congratulations. Like, it's been really amazing and you're doing a great job.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It's been so fun kind of taking a walk back and reliving some of these things, and just knowing that I was, you know, took that first trade show boot camp course. I remember it was four classes. I remember being so excited, and it was, you know, it's what propelled me to do the stationery show that following year. So it's kind of feeling like coming full circle right now.
The student becomes the teacher. Yeah. Yes. Well, thank you again for joining me today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
All right, friends, I hear you loud and clear. You want to meet in person. You want to spend 2 days diving deep into your business with other entrepreneurs that understand the struggles you're going through. You want to learn all the things you need to know to sell wholesale, exhibit at trade shows, reach a larger range of wholesale buyers, and essentially up-level your business. We only offered our Paper Camp conference once in 2018, and many of you have been emailing me asking when the next conference will be. Well, it is here. And I personally want to invite you to join us March 14th and 15th in Los Angeles for the Paper Camp conference. We have an amazing lineup of speakers joining us, including Karina Murray and Kimberly Yerkowitz of Crone Canary, Rachel Hetzel from Pistachio Press, and Katie Wilson from The Good Twin. Get all of the details and save your seat at tradeshowcamp.com/papercamp. We look forward to working with you. Proof to Product is brought to you by Trade Show Bootcamp and hosted by me, Katie Hunt. Since 2011, TSBC has worked with hundreds of product-based businesses to help them uplevel, scale, and build profitable, sustainable companies. You can find our show notes and additional resources at prooftoproduct.com. And if you like what you heard today, please head over to Apple Podcasts to leave a 5-star review and subscribe. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week with a new episode.